Today, again, we welcome you. This is an opportunity for us to sit together and discuss and meditate upon the Word of God. This program is especially given over to the exposition of God's Word, and we're in the Gospel through John, and we're in chapter 19. We have just finished dealing with the crucifixion of the Savior, and we're down at the 30th verse. And I'm going to read again from verse 28, down through verse 30, and then two or three other verses beside that to pick up the connection. And then we'll follow along in this question concerning what our Savior completed when he died on the cross. Verse 28 of John chapter 19, I read, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon hyssop, put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit." And then you go on down through to verse 32, 33. "They crushed the bones of these two dying thieves to hasten their death. But when they come to the Savior, they found him dead already." And believe me, my friend, that these Roman soldiers knew what death was. They knew when he was dead. And the Jews made sure that he was dead. So one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and therefore with came out blood and water. And then goes on to fulfill the Scripture, "A bone of him shall not be broken, and again they shall look on him whom they pierced." We were discussing in our last lesson the what he means by "it's finished." It is finished. And I said, first of all, that all the Old Testament Scriptures, the prophecies concerning the coming of our Lord to the earth as a man in the midst of men, was fulfilled right down to the last detail. And my friend, may I make it very clear to you, there was not one detail left that Jesus did not fulfill. Even to those Roman soldiers who knew nothing about prophecy, knew nothing about the Old Testament Scriptures, literally fulfilled the 69th Psalm and the 22nd Psalm. Remember this. They fulfilled in detail the very words. Our Lord completed the Scriptures. And by the way, may I say this? If the Lord fulfilled every detail of the prophetic page concerning his first coming into the human race, then I've got good ground to believe that every detail of the prophetic page concerning our Lord's return to the earth to reign as Lord of Lords and King of Kings will be completed. I'm sure of that. God is still on the throne, and he works all things out after the counsel of his own will. Even today, as we see conditions in the earth, we see nations crumbling. We see the change. It just changes overnight. And one begins to wonder what's going to happen next. My friend, not that I'm excusing man, but I do say this, that God is not alarmed. He is still on the throne, and he's a righteous God, as well as a merciful God. And he's working all things out after the counsel of his own will. And those of you who believe in the Savior, be of great comfort. Have perfect peace of heart and mind, because the Savior is at hand. May we live in daily expectation then of seeing him whom, having not seen, we love. And just as sure as he fulfilled every Scripture concerning his first coming to the earth, he's going to fulfill every Scripture concerning his second coming to the earth, when he will come to reign, not to be a sacrifice, but to be on the throne. Not to be in humiliation, but in glorification. Now, the second thing that I believe our Lord meant when he said, "It is finished," was the revelation of God to men. You remember in John chapter 17, we mentioned this, where our Lord in the first few verses of the 17th chapter said to his Father, "Father, I have finished the work you gave me to do. Now glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." I have finished the work you gave me to do. This was the revelation of the Father to men. Then the third thing that our Lord finished was the plan of redemption. Or may I be a little truer in my terminology when I say he completed the work for salvation for men and women. Because when we talk about salvation, that takes in the whole man, spirit, soul, body. Now when the Lord said it is finished, the work of redemption was completed, that's true. In fact, if I were to say this, I don't want to be too theological along this line, but let me suggest for your thinking, when our Savior died on the cross, he finished a work which he came to do. And even though not one sinner would believe it, he finished the work that the Father sent him to do. And I believe at the cross our Lord did three things, three special things with respect to his work on the cross. First of all, he did a work with respect to sin. We call this truth redemption. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I didn't spend much time here. You all know these scriptures. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In Hebrews 9:26, this man, he appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In Hebrews 10:12, this man, by one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. In 1 John 3:5, you know he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. In 1 Peter 2:24, you remember, he himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. This is his work of redemption. Isaiah 53:6, that wonderful passage, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He did a work with respect to sin. He redeemed us. That is, he bought us with a price for the purpose of liberating us, not only from the guilt and penalty of sin, but from the very power and presence of sin. And the day is going to come when everyone who puts their trust in the Savior will be delivered from the very presence of sin. What a wonderful Savior he is. If that was all he did, it was wonderful. It was marvelous. It ought to be proclaimed from the housetops. That when Jesus said it is finished and bowed his head and yielded up the Spirit, all that was necessary to redeem men from sin, to loose them, and that's what the word really means, to loose from sin, from its guilt, from its penalty, from its shame, from its power, and, as I said, from its very presence. Thank God there's a day coming when there'll be no more sin, no more death. Wonderful thing to have a Savior who's a perfect Savior, a complete Savior. I find some even of my own friends, brethren in Christ, now I'm not questioning for one moment that they love the Savior, but for some reason they've never seen what was implied in these words when our Lord said, "It is finished." It is never again to be repeated. Our Lord will never again be on a cross. He will never again die for sin. Now he's on the throne. And he's going to reign one of these days from one end of the heavens to the other. When all nations will be under his banner, sin will be through with. And that was accomplished at the cross. The second thing he did at the cross when he said it's finished, he made peace for man. We call this word reconciliation. You remember Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Or you take it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not charging unto them their trespasses, and he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see, my friend, when Christ died on the cross, he removed all enmity. Otherwise, you and I couldn't live today. God would have to move in judgment upon us if it were not for the fact that when our Savior died on the cross, he did a work with respect to the world. Whether the world believes it or not, peace was made. The enmity was removed. You take in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. He made peace for us through the blood of His cross, to reconcile all things unto Himself, whether it be things in heaven or earth and you and so on, to present us holy, unreprovable in His sight. Marvelous, marvelous doctrine. Teaching of reconciliation. God has made peace for man. And what the responsibility I have is to tell you folk, if you've never accepted the Savior, God has made peace for you. Now will you accept that peace? He's made the provision. Will you accept it? God is satisfied with the work of His Son. Will you be satisfied? Isn't that simple? Someone wrote me and said, you make it too simple. No, I can't make it too simple. You have no excuse, my friend. As the prophet said, this way of salvation is so simple that a man or a fool can't err therein. God has made the provision. Peace has been made. Will you accept the peace that He has made? One time I was asked a question, Mitchell, have you made your peace with God? I said, I can't make my peace with God. I'll accept the peace that He has made for me. He has done the job. He's the one who died. He's the one who bore our sins. He's the one who has removed the barrier. Will you accept what He has done? Now, the third great work that He has done, if I may use another theological term, in fact, it's used in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25 says, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth, Mark's 25th verse, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, that He might be just and the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's gone. No room to boast. God has done the job. What do you mean by propitiation? Being a little simpler in there, I would say He became a mercy seat for us. Or, can I put it this way, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, bearing your sin and my sin, He perfectly satisfied the holy, righteous character of God. In other words, God is satisfied with what Jesus Christ did for you and me. Are you satisfied? I ask the question very bluntly. If God is satisfied, can't you be satisfied? The psalmist says, mercy and truth have kissed each other. Where? At the cross. God's righteousness demanded that you should die. The wages of sin is death. The wages must be paid. God's righteousness demands your judgment. Oh, but you say He's love. But He can't manifest love at the expense of His righteous character. That's impossible. So when Jesus died on the cross, He perfectly satisfied the holy, righteous character of God. Now, I love to put it this way. He freed God to shower His love upon everyone who will come to Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. But how did He demonstrate His love? He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we should live. That we should live. We were under the sentence of death. That we should live. But the death sentence must be carried out. Yes, Christ took that sentence upon Himself, satisfied the holy character of God. Now God is free to shower upon every believer in Christ all His riches of His love, of His grace, of His mercy, of His compassion and tenderness. We become the objects of the very heart of God. And when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, there was nothing left to be accomplished. He absolutely, completely finished every requirement to present sinners in the presence of His God. No wonder, my friend, I oftentimes say, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about it? What a wonderful Savior He is. I tell you, my friend, when I think of it, I just wonder sometime how we Christians can get along without the Savior. We're not in love with Him. We don't love Him as we ought to love Him. You know, I was just thinking about a man by the name of Baddeley. He wrote a poem. And when I think of the cross, the Lord in resurrection, and I think of all that He accomplished, he said, Lord, when I'm weary with toiling and burdensome seem Thy commands, if my load should lead to complaining, Lord, show me Your hands. This is what I mean. The tremendous need of us to get right down into the position and see what the cost was to God. We think of what we have in the cross. Do you ever stop to think what God has in the cross? Huh? Well, the important thing, my friend, is not Jesus Christ putting away your sins. The important thing is not you and I being saved. The important thing is what God has in the cross. If God has nothing in the cross, you and I don't either. We're lost. We're undone. But God was satisfied, completely satisfied in His holy, righteous character. And now God is free to shower upon you and me the marvelous love and grace that can come from an infinite God. I just say this, I'm just giving you the gist of this. When our Lord said it's finished, He finished the work of redemption that has to do with sin. He finished the work of reconciliation. Peace was made. The enmity was removed. And you can come right into the very presence of God today, sinner friend, and accept Him as your own Savior and your own Lord. There's nothing to prevent you except your own unbelief. Except your own unbelief. That's why when we come to Revelation chapter 20, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire. See, our destination is determined by our relationship to the Savior. So when I read a verse like this, Jesus cried out, it's finished. And I remember all these amazing things. I'm astounded that sinners just don't run to the Savior and say, Lord Jesus, I take Thee as my Savior and as my Lord. God perfectly satisfied with the work of His Son. And I can't help but repeat the question, are you satisfied? Are you perfectly satisfied with the work of His Son? I even find evangelical Christians who say, well, I believe Christ died for me and He finished the work, but I've got a job to do. And my friend, what is your job? If Christ completed the job, if He said it's finished, it's completed, God is satisfied with what Christ has done, how can you add to that? Please don't dishonor the Lord. Please don't dishonor the Lord. If I brought you something that was completely finished, whether it be of wood or of iron or of steel, whatever it may be, and I present to you a finished thing, you came along with a hammer or a saw and started work on it, you'd ruin what I've done. Now then, Jesus Christ has completed the work of redemption, perfectly satisfying to God. What are you going to do? Can you add to what Christ has done? Can you add to what He accomplished on the cross? Oh, friend, listen. Jesus Christ is a perfect Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. And when I ask people, sinners, to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, we offer them, in the name of the Lord, we offer them a complete, perfect, eternal salvation as a gift from God. You don't pay for gifts. You don't beg for gifts. You thank the giver for the gift He has given. And I would just plead with your heart today. He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. He means it. This John apostle wrote, "To as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Not by works of righteousness have we done, but according to his mercy he saved us." My friend today, why don't you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and pass from death to life? Why not just pass from death to life? God is offering you a gift, and I'm repeating it. God is perfectly satisfied, absolutely satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Won't you accept and be satisfied with the work he's accomplished? Then praise the Lord for his wonderful goodness to you and to me. And may the Lord make it very clear. May he make it very precious to your heart today. How glad I am, he could say, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly." Justifieth the ungodly who believe. His faith is counted for righteousness. I'm quoting Romans 4:5. One could multiply the scriptures. I just want to plead with you, my friend, to accept him as your own Savior. He's finished the work. And be satisfied with that which God is satisfied, and accept him as your own personal Savior. Do it now.